Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Matthew 12. We'll get there in a little bit, but we're going to start out in, we're going to start you out in Matthew 12. Our foundation scripture for this year is 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. That is so important. And I was thinking here a month or so ago, I said, man, I don't want to beat this thing to death, but I want to get it on the inside of us. Thanks be to God that he always leads us into triumph in Christ. We need to get that down on the inside because it is so easy to be sucked into the things of the world and so easy to be deceived and so easy to be drawn into the pattern of complaining and worrying and all this stuff. And we need to know that if you are a born-again believer, if you are following God, he always leads you into triumph. Not occasionally. Not periodically, not once in a while, but always leads us in triumph. In the last couple of weeks, because we've had a disruption of messages here in the last couple of weeks of just different things, special speakers and the like. But in Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We need to walk worthy. Now, if God has called us and says that he will always lead us in triumph in Jesus Christ, we need to walk that way. We need to walk like we're always in triumph, amen? We need to always walk with confidence. You need to have a step about you, like the little girls going out this morning. Had that step and just waving at you. It's like we need to have that little walk, don't we? We need to have that air of superiority because we are above and not beneath, amen? But we need to have this air of confidence and assurance about us. And a lot of times we weren't taught that. We were taught to be humble. We were taught to be submissive. And you know, if you got a good grade, no, don't boast about this. If you did good in sports, don't boast about this. You know, no, all this. It's like, well, we're not talking about boasting. We're talking about dealing with reality. And if you are a Christian, you are born again. You are recreated, have been reborn. The Bible says the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead caused you to be made alive. Wow. I mean, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ lives in us. And Jesus said, it must be that I go away that I can send the Holy Spirit and he will indwell you. Oh, and by the way, the Father is going to indwell you too. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to indwell in you too. Why? Because one, God is one. Okay? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God. There's not three, there's one, singular, but they are all manifestations of God. And we have God, the creator of the universe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all dwelling within us. So we need to walk worthy of that, amen? And to walk worthy of that, can you see Jesus wondering, walking through the streets, and they say, you've got a tax bill due? Oh, man, tax. Where am I going to get tax? Man, I don't have any money. Now, he tells Peter, said, let's go fishing. Because he said, my dad's got a fish out there, and he knows where the coin is, and my dad's going to cause that fish to get that coin and bring it to me, and when we catch it, it'll have a gold coin in its mouth. Yeah. And it wasn't. Now get this. We're going to start leading in this direction, but next week we're going to get into this. When he caught the fish and when they brought it up, it didn't just have enough in it to pay the taxes of Jesus. It paid Peter's tax too. More than enough. More than enough. That has been ringing on the inside of me for about 4 weeks now. It's like more. We serve the God of more than enough. That's why he always leads us in triumph. He's got more than enough to get you out of where you're at. He's got more than what you need to get you out, either mentally, emotionally, financially, physically. He's got more than enough. And we need to start seeing it. He always leads me in triumph. Why? He's the more than enough God. He's not just meeting my needs, he is exceeding my needs. Amen? Hallelujah. And see, humility will say, well, as long as my needs are met. Listen, why did God have you born again? If it was simply to go to heaven, you would have gone right then. Your work would be over with. Why are you here? To be a witness. To be a witness that other people could see the work of God in you, that they would believe and they would trust God for themselves. Amen? I mean, what he taught us last year, and we're still feeding on this, he taught us a testimony means God will do it again. And we need to share our testimony of what God has done in us, because if God will do it for one, he'll do it for all. Amen. It's not just a one-time thing. Oh, well, you really were good this week, so I'm going to bless you this one time. No, God says, no, this testimony is, I'm using you for an example of what I will do, because you chose to believe in me for this need. Somebody else has the same need, but they haven't chosen to believe God, to trust in him for that need to be met, so they don't get the need met. But your testimony can be the one thing that they need to hear. So I serve the God of more than enough. He will put me over. Amen. That's why testimonies of healing, of financial blessing, all these things are so important. And it's not prideful. It's humbling myself under the hand of God, because it recognizes he is my source. Amen. Well, we looked at Matthew 22:14. It says, many are called, but few are chosen. That's scary. As a pastor, that scares me. I may be called, but I can't just rest. I'm called. I'm called. Hallelujah. I'm called. I'm called. The thing is, have I qualified myself for God to choose me to do a service? Many are called. We've had, I'd hate to, I don't think I could count all the people that have come through our doors and say, I'm called. I've got a calling in my life. That's great. I want to see what you're doing with your call. Because if you have to wait for me to appoint you to a position before you can activate your call, guess what? You're not called. I can't say it any plainer than that. Why? The Bible says that man's gift will make room for him. If you're called, you're going to be doing it already. I'll give you the short version, but when I got called in the ministry, everybody knew it way before I did. I didn't have to go and convince them. I believe that God has called me into the ministry, and if you don't accept that, you are not hearing from God. I didn't have to do that at all. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew I was called in the ministry. I was the last one to find out. But see, the thing was, I was already doing it without even being aware of it. Amen. I was all it, because ministry is not something you do, it's who you are. And when you do who you are, when you live that out, it manifests itself. Other people begin to see it. Yes. That's why some of us have a false humility, because other people see gifts in you that you don't see for yourself, because you won't let yourself see that. But you're already doing it. And other people see you doing it, but you don't see yourself doing it, because, well, I could never be a minister. Well, I've got news for you. If you're born again, you are a minister. Yes. And other people are watching what you do and how you react to see how people of God should behave. You say, well, that's not fair. It may not be fair, but it's reality. People are watching you all the time. Well, two things are explicit in our phrase of God, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Two things that we need to get out of that, and I'm just repeating. I'm not going to preach on this today because we've covered it before, but the first thing is, in order for God to lead us implies that we are following. That's so crucial. There's such a revelation in that. If God always leads us in triumph, then I've got to be following him. If I'm not following, he's not leading. Now, he's already going, but he only leads me as I follow him. So by the fact that this verse says Christ always leads us, or God always leads us in triumph in Christ, implies I'm following him. So in order to have triumph in my life, I've got to be following him. Amen. I've got to be going after him. I've got to be seeking after him. I've got to be hungry for the things of God. The second thing, and oh, this is such a deep revelation. I hope you get it. I really hope that it just strikes on the inside of you. God cannot lead you where he is not. If you say, well, God must have led me to sin. No, he didn't. There's no sin in God. How can he lead you where he is not? Well, God led my path and directed me to be poor. No, God doesn't have poverty. How can he lead you into poverty? See, some people say, well, God put this sickness on me. Wait a minute. If we're in triumph in Christ and God has no sickness in him, Jesus bore it on the cross not to take on himself on a permanent basis, but to set you free of it, Christ has no sickness to lead you into. Where does God go to get sickness? Because this is a real big thing. A lot of people think, well, God made me sick. He's teaching me something. Learn it. I mean, if God's teaching you, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and say, well, I was sick because God was teaching me something. I asked, well, what did you learn? I don't know. That's a poor teacher, isn't it? I mean, when I was in math class, I didn't expect to learn history. I expected to learn math because I had a math teacher. When I was in history class, I expected to learn history because I had a history teacher. So if God is teaching you, learn. Amen? Well, God let me go through this trouble to learn something. Good. Maybe he did. What did you learn? I don't know. How about this? Call on the name, all those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you finally got to the point of, God, I can't handle this. Jesus, he brought you out, didn't he? Every time he brought you out. When you finally got down, I can't do this on my own. What's he teaching you? Everything comes from God, and without him, you can do nothing. It's real simple, but we make it real complicated because we get into theology and we get into doctrine. I tell you, I told someone the other day, I don't have a whole lot of doctrine. I know that God is. I know that God exists. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So whatever God says, I know I can trust. Because he's not a man that he should lie. He's God. Amen? God doesn't have to impress me with who he is. God doesn't have to try to convince me, Gordon, I'm the real God, and if you believe in me, I'll feel real good. His self-esteem is not caught up in this. My salvation is, but not his self-esteem. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't need us near as much as we need him. God wants us because he loves us, not because he needs us. We need him, but God loves us. And a lot of people come to God not because they love God, but because they need God. And if you stay in that sense of need, you will come to love him. Now you can have a relationship with him. Now you can know who he is because now you love him the same way that God loves you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We also said that the spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. And that's a real big thing too. The spirit, if I'm walking in faith, I have a spirit of victory about me. I have a spirit of overcoming. I have a spirit of confidence. I have a spirit of assurance. Why? I'm walking in faith. Because faith is the victory, amen? That's what the Bible says, faith is the victory. And so if we have a spirit of faith, we have a spirit of victory. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, this is what we closed with the last time we talked about this, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Now this is what I want to get in today. Faith cannot remain silent. Faith cannot remain silent. You can't say, I have faith, and never say anything. The scripture says, I believe, therefore I spoke. I believed. I believed first. And because of what I believed, then I began to speak out what I believe. Now, what do we believe? Well, our foundation scripture is, he always leads me in victory, in triumph in Christ. See, that's our faith. No matter what problem you're in, no matter what situation, he always leads him into victory. Yeah, but you don't know your situation. I know my situation. I'm not denying it. I'm not closing my eyes and saying, I'm not poor, I'm not poor. I'm not saying, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. I'm saying Christ is my healer. Christ is my deliverer. Christ is my source. Yes, I may be without now, but Jesus is still my source. Well, what happens if you die and you never see it? Jesus is still my source. See, that doesn't change. That point of faith never changes. God is my source. So what if I die? I'm not trying to be gruesome, but so what if I die? If I die by faith, I am going to be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. How can that be failure? Seriously, how can that be failure? If I know I'm going to be with Jesus and I'm confident of that, I win. That's why we can laugh over our enemies. We can even laugh in our situation. Because if all else fails in this world, God still is true. Amen. To realize that. Because a lot of people, I've heard it said, well, if they really believed God, they wouldn't be sick. Okay, and what's your excuse? You know, because seriously, we all get sick, don't we? There's times when our bodies just don't want to cooperate. We all go through these things. But we don't base our trust in God on whether we're sick or not. That's not the foundation of our faith. You cannot look at the things of this world and determine what God's going to do just by watching the world. Why? God is supernatural. He is above the natural things. He can make a way where there appears to be no way. He can get money out of the mouth of a fish. Now, I haven't been able to do that yet. I don't. Maybe I just don't fish as often as I should, but I just have not caught that fish with a gold coin in it. But I remember Charles Capp years ago. He was talking about confession, about fishing. He says he went out on his boat and he wasn't getting anything. So he just said, well, I'm going to put this to work. Father, in Jesus' name, you cause those fish to jump in my boat. Oh, Lord, I thank you. And he started praising God and worshiping God for those fish jumping in his boat. And guess what happened? Fish started jumping in his boat. I kid you not. Fish started jumping in his boat. Well, I just don't believe this confession stuff works. Well, I know you don't because you don't do it. But it works for you because you always go around and say, well, this doesn't work for me. This doesn't work for me. I can confess the word of God and it never works for me. Well, that's right. It's not working for you. Well, that's why I'm saying it doesn't work for me. Yeah, but I know why it's not working for you because you keep saying it won't work for you. Now, what if you would change the confession around? Everything I say comes to pass. Now, if you believe that, there's a lot of things you wouldn't say. This car of mine is a wreck. No. See, we had a car one time, and we had two cars, and for some reason, Satan had planted a thought in my head that I took that we don't really need two cars because we only drive one at a time. We're always together, so why do we need two cars? And I just started, thinking about we're paying insurance on this car. I'm probably having to pay upkeep on this car, but we don't drive this car all that much. We did drive it, but not all much because it was our second car. And I caught myself afterwards that I had been saying, we don't need two cars. We don't need two cars. Why do we have two cars? Well, we were driving our good car through Cumberland one day. Roads were a little bit wet, not real wet. And this girl in front of me lost control. And it was only two of us. She started spinning around in the middle of the road. And there was absolutely nothing I could do to avoid hitting her. So I slammed right in the side of her. Her car was one of these cheap little tin boxes. I mean, I figured her car's totaled. It wasn't. It was repairable. They fixed her car, put it back on the road. Our car was a sturdy car, steel frame. We bent the frame, totaled the car. Well, we only had one car. My words came to pass. And I asked God later, I said, Lord, I know your angels are out there. How come your angels didn't warn me? If they had warned me, and this has happened several times, warned me just 3 or 4 seconds before, I could have changed lanes. If I would have changed lanes, I could have got by her without any problem at all. Seriously, either lane. I could have got right by her. She would have been spinning, but I would have had enough room to move. But I was right behind her. I said, why didn't you tell me? God said, I couldn't. I said, what do you mean you couldn't? He said, you had bound me by your confession, and you gave Satan entrance to take a car. You didn't say which car. See, Satan never goes after the thing you don't want because that doesn't harm you. He goes after what you desire. He goes after your dreams. He goes after what you are asking and seeking God for. He goes after those things. And then if you let that develop your faith, you can fall into the category of, well, nothing ever goes right for me. Ooh, don't go there. Why? Because you will have the words that you speak. I don't want to say nothing ever works for me. I may feel like it sometimes, but I don't want to say it. I'll tell you, if you ever have a thought like that, just start confessing the opposite. Lord, I thank you. You always cause me to triumph in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, you always make a way where there seems to be no way. I thank you, God, I am healed. I am delivered. I am curse-free. I am sin-free. It's like, boy, that'll change you and your attitude about a lot of things when you do that. But now we're going to get into that more. Have you found Matthew 12? Go to verse 33. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, Jesus is saying, you're going to give an account for the words that you say. An evil tree or a bad tree can only produce bad things. A good tree can only produce good things. Now, this is really important because there's a choice that we've got to make in this. What kind of a tree are you going to be? Are you going to be a good tree or a bad tree? Well, you know, it's just my makeup. Is it? Whose image are you created in? I know it got marred with sin, but you're born again. What kind of a tree are you? Well, I'm kind of 50-50. No. If you're born again, what kind of a tree are you? You're a good tree. You ought to bring forth good fruit. Now, I'll tell you in a little bit why we don't always bring forth good fruit, even though we're born again. I'll tell you that in a minute, but I want to show you something else right now. There's a warning that Jesus gives us in verse 32. He says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. In other words, your words are going to last a long time. And he says, if you speak against the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of different understandings of this. I just want to add one to your long list. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If I speak against the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit says I'm healed and I say I'm sick, I'm in opposition to the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Spirit says I'm born again and I say I'm not, I'm now opposed to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, I'm delivered, I'm set free, I'm redeemed from every curse, and yet I say, no, I am cursed, nothing ever goes right for me, blah, blah, and all the negativity, I've just blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I'm saying what God says about me is false. I'm accusing God of being a liar in my life. It's a strike home to any of us. It does to me. You know, because I catch myself doing that. I don't want to do it, but I catch myself doing that. Of Gordon, you do that all the time. Wrong confession, unless I'm doing a good thing. Amen. If I'm doing a good thing, I do that all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But if I'm doing a bad thing and I say it, that's not a good thing. So what is the key to this? He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we speak from the treasure in our heart. Debbie was talking and using some of my same scriptures in Sunday school, and it came up to me that a lot of times what we say comes out of our emotions. It's not out of our intellect, because if you would really think about it, you would never say some of the things that you say. How many of you have said something, and you, as soon as it's out of your mouth, you say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Why did you say it? Because you're emotionally caught up, and out of your emotions, you spoke. But if you would have thought about it, you never would have gone there. I mean, you just wouldn't have even touched it. But out of your emotions, out of your belly, yeah, out of the treasure in your heart. See, this is where hurts become so monumental in us. When we're hurt, when we've been wounded, we treasure that. We cover it up. We hide it. We cloak it. We put on a smiley face, but we don't deal with it. And that hurt just sits in there and festers and grows and grows and grows. And then somebody does something, and all that hurt just comes pouring out. And all of a sudden, you look at yourself and say, where did that come from? Well, it's from the hurt, because you never really dealt with it. It's a treasure. Well, I would never treasure hurt. I would never treasure pain. I've been in situations, and we were in a bad situation a number of years ago, and I find myself, I don't want to, but I find myself still going back to that event, and I look at my future, and the temptation is to define who I am now and my future on a past event. Has anybody ever done that? See, that's what hurt does. Hurt limits your vision. Hurt is like an anchor that keeps you in one place and you can't move from there. You want to, but you can't move. Why? Because you've got that hurt, you've got that pain, you've got that input into you. You'll never amount to anything. You're stupid, you're slow, you're ignorant. And those are all wounds that come to us. And if you harbor those things and they fester and you think about that, when God comes along and says, you're a child of God, I'm your father, and whoever, whatever that past is all gone. When God says that to you, you say, boy, I wish that were true. I wish it were true. We need to say, thank you, Lord. All those things that I'm so easily entangled with are broken in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. They have dropped off of me. It's like the skin on a snake. You know, I'm bigger than that now, and I got to shed something. And what I'm going to shed is the sin, the weight that's holding me back. I'm going to shed those. I'm going to get rid of that stuff because all it does is confine me and limit me. You know, if that snake doesn't shed its skin, it'll die because it can't grow anymore. And hurts and wounds keep us from growing, keep us from expanding, keep us from being who we really were created by God to be, and limits us. And there's all kinds of ways that that affects us, but it affects us as being a treasure in our heart. So now when we speak out of our treasure. We speak out of our hurts. Well, how do you solve that? Real easy. You got to change your treasure. Well, how do I change my treasure? Is it hard for you to worship the Lord? Is it hard for you to say thank you to God? Well, Gordon, you just don't know how tough I've got it. I know you got it tough. I could give you some of my sob stories, and you'd start feeling sorry for me too. Okay, we've all got hard times. But in the midst of that hard time, what's your treasure? Listen to what you say. Listen to what comes out of you. That's your treasure. But I don't want that to be my treasure. You've got to change it. Remember last week we talked about the only way you can get rid of dark is to get light? If you're going to get treasure, renew treasure, you can't just say, I curse that treasure, I curse that hurt. No, you can't do it. You've got to look, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you, God, for delivering me. Thank you, God, for coming into my life. Thank you, God, I am a new person in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, and now all things are of God. Even if you don't see it all in manifestation yet, that is the truth. Even if you're not walking in all the power of it, that is the truth. You are free in Jesus Christ as a believer, as a Christian. Thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And that needs to be one of the first things that comes out of our mouth. In trouble, in situations where we're uncomfortable, where we're not relaxed, where we just don't like being here, thanks be unto God, you always lead me in triumph in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you can either curse the darkness or you can thank God and let the light come. If you curse the darkness, guess what? It's still dark. You can be a dark room and curse the darkness. You can rebuke it. You can cast it out. You can do all those things. But until you turn on the light, you're still in darkness. You cannot get rid of bad treasure just trying to sweep it out of the house. If you've ever noticed, when you clean your natural house, it just gets dirty again. You could clean your house and leave for a month, and when you came back, it would be dirty. No one's living there, but it's still dirty. Why? It's the way of the world. And as a believer, you can't just try to sweep out all the old stuff. You've got to bring new stuff in. You've got to brighten it up. You've got to put colors on the wall. You've got to make it what you want it to be instead of just, well, this is a lonely home. Well, do something. Change it. You've got to bring more things into the house. Amen? Okay. We speak out of the treasure of our heart, what we've stored up in us, wounds or victory, Christ or the world. We bring out fear or faith because what we treasure one or the other. We fear one or the other. Faith or fear. Go to Proverbs 4. We're not going to get near through this, but Proverbs chapter 4. Familiar scripture to us as we start talking about confession. But I want to show you something in this. Maybe we'll end with this because I want to show this to you. Proverbs 4 verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, where's our treasure? Our treasure is in the midst of our heart. And often, again, I want to say this again. Often our treasure is revealed from our emotions. Because our emotions, you're more real when you're emotional than you are at any other time. Intellectually, I'm not afraid. Let me throw a plastic spider in front of you. I thought you weren't afraid. Well, yeah, but that I thought you weren't afraid. But it could have been real. I thought you weren't afraid. Get my point. Okay, all Satan has to do for some of us, because we've covered up our emotions with all our intellectual activity, and all Satan has to do is throw out a shadow of a spider, a shadow of a threat. Why? You're reacting emotionally. Now, I like snakes. I don't have any as a pet. I'm not a snake fetish. I'm not anything like that. But I grew up with snakes as a boy. So snakes to me are cute. I loved it the other day. Yesterday, the last 2 days I've been working out in the flower beds. I didn't see a snake, but I found a turtle. It was an elegant slider. It was a painted turtle, although it didn't have paint. It's the kind that kids used to buy in the pet shop, and you had this little plastic container with this fake palm thing in the middle of it and this little ramp that went up. I found it, the same turtle I found twice, working out in the flower bed. I was just thrilled. I mean, to me, it's just a little blessing. It's like, man, at my house, here's this turtle. We're nowhere near a body of water, but here's this water turtle in my yard. I just think it's cool. You know, I was just blessed. But we can see these things, and you can either get blessed. Now, what I'm saying about snakes is I don't have a fear of snakes. So if I would come across a snake, you know, I'm just going to look at it. And it's like, okay, I want to find out whether it's poisonous or not. If it's poisonous, I'm leaving the area. Okay, I'm getting out. I'm not stupid. Okay, just because you say, I don't have any fear. Don't be stupid. Well, I have no fear if I put my hand in that buzzsaw. Don't do it. It's the devil. You know, you're tempting God. Don't be dumb about it. But at the same time, you don't have to react and be afraid every time a motor is turned on, because it might be a buzzsaw. Okay, so if I see a snake, after I determine that it's okay to be around, I won't necessarily try to catch it anymore, because I'm not as fast as I used to be as a kid. But I just wonder if I could, how close I could get to it. I wonder if I could touch this thing. Why? Because there's no fear. Now, there's other things, just to let you know I'm human. There's other things that I'm still working to overcome some fear. There's things that happen that I just flat out don't like. And I've got to, that reveals a treasure. It's like, okay, I got to deal with that, because that's not the treasure I want. I'm working to renew my soul, amen? I'm working to get my emotions in line, not trying to deny my emotions. Because like I say, when I'm emotional, I'm more real. When I say, nobody likes me anymore, I know intellectually that's not true, right? That's a great opportunity, and you just blew it. God, it must be true. No, but if I'm all weepy and cry, that's how I feel. And it may not have any intellectual basis or reality to it at all, but that's how I feel. And I'm going to respond out of how I feel, not what reality is. Because at that time, now don't take this the wrong way, because I said this one time and somebody took it the wrong way. But at that time, in your emotional state, whatever you feel emotionally is real to you. It may not be real, but that state is real to you. So your mommy and daddy still love you regardless of how bad you are, okay? But you may not feel like they love you at that emotional state. Well, you got to renew your emotions. You got to renew that treasure, because you have a problem with rejection. And you've got to know that God doesn't reject you. Because if you know that God doesn't reject you, hey, if mom and dad don't like me, God still is with me. Mom and dad are temporary, but God is eternal. So I'm going to trust God. If God be for me, what can man, mom and dad do against me? Amen. I mean, but it's like, but this is reality, isn't it? And we all live there. We all dwell there. But let's go on in Proverbs. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart, because that's where your treasure is. 22, for they are life to those who find them. What? The words of God, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart, your treasure, with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, one of the definitions for issues is boundaries. Now think about this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the boundaries or the limitations of your life. You will draw a circle around you. I can go this far and no further. It's a boundary. And it's based upon the treasures of your heart, how large that boundary is. You limit God by your thoughts, by your treasure. Well, I can trust God for that. And we all have areas like, there's certain areas I have no problem trusting God in at all. Absolutely none. And there's other areas, Lord, help me have faith. Help me, Lord, to believe. I want to, but you've got to help me do this because I'm struggling in that area. But this other area, and when I'm strong, I'm strong. And when I'm weak, I'm pathetic. You know, it's just, you know, it's like, man, it's like, well, good, just buck up. It's like, I want to. But there's just times in it. And we all have areas of strength where it's just so easy to believe God, and we look at other people, well, what's their problem? And then I can look at other people, and they're so strong in that area where I'm weak at, and I'm thinking, what's my problem? Why can't I be more like them? Well, I've got to renew that treasure, amen? That's just God pointing out, this is where you need to grow. You need to learn to trust me in this area. And as I learn to trust him, as I yield my treasure to God and his word, then that fear dissipates and it goes away. But suddenly, I can be strong in that area where I used to be weak, amen? I used to really have a problem with rejection. Now I just have a little problem. You know, it's like, but more and more, it's like, but God, you love me. You love me. You love me. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. As long as I am doing the will of God and know that I am right in his sight, nothing can come against me. But boy, if I'm not real sure that it's that I'm 100% in God, and this is where the devil wants to come in. Are you sure God told you to do that? Isn't that what Satan said in the Garden of Eden? Is that what God told you? Are you sure? And boy, once that doubt comes in, I don't have confidence anymore because I don't know if I'm in the will of God. That's why I've got to know that I'm in the will of God before I do something. Because if I start out that way. See, I remember the first church we left, we were asked to leave because the church was growing too fast. I never knew that was a problem, but evidently it was in that congregation. And we were growing too fast. You know, we had good friends in that church, and we would go to be invited to group gatherings and things of those friends. We would go, you know, long afterwards. It took me 2 years to be able to drive back by that church before I was comfortable driving past it. It was really hard because in the back of my mind, I had to do something wrong. I had to. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened. And it took 2 years before I got it resolved. We were growing the church. God was adding people to it. We didn't blow it. It wasn't my fault. But it took me 2 years to get to that point. When it happened again, we got kicked out of church because people were being healed on Sunday morning. That's your problem, not mine. I'm going on with God. The next day I drove past the church. Hi. You know, it didn't bother me a bit because I had grown, my treasure had grown in that area that I was in the will of God. And if God be for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter, but boy, you let that doubt creep in. Did God really say? And boy, when that creeps in, you put boundaries on your life. You put limitations on, and you will only go to that furthest boundary, and then you'll stop. Even if it's a false boundary, that's all the further you will go. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, this is what I want you to see out of this. This is the pattern of the entrance of the Word of God. Okay, it says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. You've got to hear the Word. You got to put yourself in a position where you can hear the Word of God. And then after you hear it, you got to see it. Now, you can do that in several different ways. You can meditate on the Word of God. You can see yourself in that situation. There's all kinds of things. But you've got to see the things. You've got to keep God in front of you all the time. To wherever you look, there's God. Wherever you turn, there's God. There's God. You've got to begin to see things as God sees them. And I want to get more into that later. But you've got to change your vision to how does God see this situation. Not how you feel in it. How does God see the situation? Because if you will let it, people will put all kinds of condemnation on you. And you have to ask, is God doing this or is this just from other people? Am I just insecure that other people are putting this on me, or is this really God? Well, if it's God, you can repent and get rid of it. If it's people, you can repent and repent and repent and repent and repent, repent and repent, 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 and it'll never go away.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But if it's God, you can go to Him and say, Lord, that was wrong. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me and help me get through this. And He will. And you don't have to carry that. But if it's people, unless God changes their heart, they're going to always put condemnation on you because it's the only way they can feel right with themselves. It's not based on who you are. It's based on who they are, and they justify themselves by condemning you. You've been around those people. Everything you do is, or everything that happens is your fault. Every bad thing. Anything good happens, it's them. But if anything bad happens, it's your fault. He said, well, I wasn't even there. It was your fault anyway, because 4 weeks ago you said such and such. And, well, wait, excuse me? You made the final choice. Don't blame me. But see, they will put that condemnation on you. We know what we're talking about. And it doesn't matter what you do. You can't placate them. You can't change their mind. Why? Because it's all about them, and they're going to condemn you so they feel acceptable to themselves, because if they don't, and if you take the guilt, they'll keep putting more on you, won't they? Mm-hmm. They'll just, the next time something happens, they'll call you up. Well, I know you said this to me the other day, and it's your fault that this happened, blah, blah, blah. And so, whoa, what are you even talking about? But they'll call you up and just dump on you just because they know you'll take it. And see, that's what God wants to break us from. Amen. So you've got to incline your ear. You've got to not let them depart from your eyes. You've got to keep them in the midst of your heart, because your heart is where your treasure is, your emotions. We need to be healed in so many of areas of our emotions, of our hurts and wounds, because we know the right thing, and we're still like little children. Well, Dad never really liked me. My sister and I have a thing that we talk about with each other, and we tease each other. I always tell her, you were always Dad's favorite. And she was. She looks back at me and says, well, you were Mom's favorite. And I was. So I had Mom, she had Dad. I got the best end of the bargain. She thinks she had the best end. But it's just, you know, that's just a little tease. But it's like, you cannot let those things determine who you are. So what if you weren't the favorite? How about Esau and Jacob? Esau had everything going for him. Favorite kid. You know, Jacob is a scrounger. Who knows what this Jacob's going to turn into? And yet God says, I'll put my favor on who I want to put my favor on. And just to show you, it's not the firstborn, it's not the best looking, it's not the most elegant, it's not the strongest, it's not the best hunter, it's not all these things. I'm going to choose Jacob. Now, in my mind's eye, Jacob was probably would not be my first choice. You know? I mean, I think about David sometimes. I've had people get on me for this, but this is just how I feel about it. King David is Jewish. My idea of a Jew is a little bit dark olive complexion and black hair. David was red hair. He had red hair, bright red hair. Well, what does that mean? He was light-skinned and probably had freckles. This is not a Jew. I'm sorry, this is not a Jew. A Jew cannot have red hair and freckles. Well, obviously they do. But it's like, David, no wonder your father had you out with the sheep. You know, no wonder he didn't have you trained for the battle. No wonder your dad rejected you. No wonder. It's like, but God chose him. If God be for us, finish it, who can be against me? And God chose you from the foundation of the world. He chose you. And we, in our brilliant moment of intelligence and breakthrough, we just accepted him. Say, God, if you're dumb enough to choose me, I'll take it. Because I got the best end of the deal. God's still got to deal with my issues. But I get to deal with his glory, amen? I got the better end of the bargain by far, hallelujah. See, you got to keep this before your eyes. You've got to build up this treasure on the inside of your heart. And then these things will begin to pass. For out of it spring the issues of life. When you get that settled and rooted in God, your boundaries start enlarging. They get bigger and bigger. It's Isaiah, I think it's 54. It says, enlarge your tent stakes. Stretch out your tents. God's got more for you than what you exist in right now. He's got more for you than what you can see for yourself. And so we've got to begin to hear, we've got to begin to see, and we've got to begin to treasure the things that God has put into us, because that will create the issues of life. Expand your boundaries by expanding your relationship with the Father. Amen. Let's stand up. You get something out of this? This is rich stuff. This is so good, and we need to get this rooted and grounded on the inside of us to know who we are in Christ. Because it doesn't matter what the world says about you, either good or bad. It matters that at the end time, God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your love for us. Lord, we are well aware of our faults, of our weaknesses. Help us, Lord, to be more aware of your grace and power. Thank you, Father, that we are new in Christ, that all those old junky things have passed away, that we are new in you, a new creation, unique in you, Father. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your strength, for your power, for your deliverance out of all these things that have set themselves against us. And God, we will acknowledge you in all of our ways, for you always lead us in triumph in Christ. Praise you and thank you, Father. Lord, we worship you, we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.